Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring music, news, interviews, and events about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a world of health, freedom, peace, and sustainability for all. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor its management. We're celebrating World Vegan Day, November 1st, 2021, in every year, and also featuring the vegans who were on the ground in Glasgow at the COP26 conference.
So, hi everyone. We are live at the Strathclyde Union in Glasgow. I'm Simone. I'm together with the plant-based treaty team. So we are here today during the COI26. It's the conference of youth. So those days before the COP26, we are here in this place with our stand. We have a lot of stickers, plant-based chocolate, plant-based drinks. As you can see, here we have our stand. So we have Alex outreaching the people.
Check out the Plant-Based Treaty at plantbasedtreaty.org, initiated originally from the Animal Save Movement, a group out of Canada that is now hundreds of chapters worldwide. Vegans creating a sustainable world of nonviolence, compassion, and justice in ending a culture of death, disease, and destruction.
Look at this. It says stop animal farming, and we have our plant-based treaty roll up here.
Stop animal farming in large letters on their inflatable cow, a black and white Holstein cow that people call a dairy, quote, dairy cow, females exploited for their breast milk. Enslaved females exploited for their breast milk.
So basically this is a huge inflatable that you will see here, if you come to meet us, and you will see it around Glasgow in the next days. So yesterday, today, and tomorrow, we are here at the Strathclyde Union, and in the next days, you will see us around the city, because as you know, the COP26 is starting. So we will be around with a lot of actions and with a lot of initiatives. So keep following us, because we have a lot to show you. Thank you for following us.
Now I'd like to share some facts, and I'm reading this from some artwork by Jo Fredericks in Australia. Her painting is an elephant holding a sign over a man, and the man is on his knees and his hands, and his head is down in the sand under the ground. And the sign says, "Consuming animals is the leading cause of global warming, water depletion and pollution, ocean dead zones, rainforest destruction, species extinction, habitat loss, human starvation in the east, human ill health in the west, animal slavery, abuse, mass murder." Dr. Salish Rao from Phoenix, Arizona, founder of Climate Healers, also organizes the Vegan World 2026 Convergence. And here's a recording from that, which was held last weekend. And this one is their invited guest, who's also involved in the Vegan World 2026 Benevolent Sustainable Agenda. Jane Velez Mitchell, founder of Jane Unchained News Network.
So, okay, so we're going to take some more calls. We have some hands raised. Let's go. Who wants
to come in? Go ahead.
Thank you so much, Stacey. Thanks, Jane, for your leadership. I am really inspired by your activism. You speak vociferously, cogently, and eloquently, and consistently for the animals. So thank you for your leadership. My question is regarding the COP26. I was reading the menu of the items being served next Sunday in Glasgow in the COP26, and they are serving Scotch beef ramen. Now, I was really shocked that they're serving animal slaughter products at a meeting where they are raising awareness towards the climate crisis, the IPCC Code Red report. So how can we influence COP26 or people who are going to COP26 to, you know, do the right thing?
Yes, that's an excellent question. And of course, we confront this all the time with environmental groups, how often the leaders of environmental groups are not vegan and they discourage conversations about, I mean, I've attended events where people are just going on and on and on for an hour about the Amazon being set on fire. But if you try to bring up why the Amazon is being set on fire, primarily for cattle grazing, to allow for cattle grazing, you get shut down. In fact, I was told by an unnamed well-known person, you be quiet, when I said, and edible agriculture. So this is a very, denial is a powerful thing. It is a really powerful thing. People hear what they want to hear. And when they're hell bent on not hearing something, it's very hard to get through, because for many people, meat is an addiction. And I don't speak as somebody coming from up here. I'm a recovering alcoholic with 26 years of sobriety. Before I hit bottom and got sober, you could have talked to me till you were blue in the face. And I would not have, I would have heard, oh, blah, blah, blah. I wouldn't have heard what you were saying, because my brain was not under my control. It was hijacked by the addiction. And this happens with meat too. So they are not hearing it. They don't want to hear it. And they are in denial and they are in resistance. And it's very, very powerful. Denial and resistance. You know what they say, when you're ready to hear something, when the whatever listener is ready, the message will appear. There's some cliche about that, but I think there's truth in it. So how do we deal with this? Well, first of all, support the plant-based treaty, which is promoted by the SAVE movement. You can go to plantbasedtreaty.org, plantbasedtreaty.org, and I am going to endorse the plant-based treaty, as I have for myself as an individual, as well as my nonprofit, Jane Unchained News Network. So that, if they get enough signatures, that will go the direction of the fossil fuel treaty. We also need people like Greta Thunberg, for example, who is courageously standing up and saying blah, blah, blah about politicians. We know she's a vegan. We need her to get specific and say, hey, COP26, you're serving meat. Look at Billie Eilish. I'll give you a perfect example. Billie Eilish and her mom, Maggie Baird, and her brother, Phineas, a powerful vegan family. Now, Maggie Baird, her mom, runs Support and Feed, where they raise funds, keep the vegan restaurants open during the pandemic by giving the donations to the vegan restaurants. The vegan restaurants make food, give it to people who are hungry, who are houseless, who are struggling. And so it's a win-win-win. And Billie Eilish, isn't it interesting that the Met Gala, which is the pinnacle of society, okay, the pinnacle of society, the Met Gala, went vegan this year. That was huge. Didn't get a lot of coverage. All the conversations we're having during this convergence should be happening on major cable channels. They refuse to talk about animal agriculture's role in climate change. The United Nations, in its report, Livestock's Long Shadow, way back in, I think, 2006, said animal agriculture is responsible for more greenhouse gas emissions than all transportation combined. That's the United Nations talking. Getting back to how we can hit COP26, the plant-based treaty is going to be there. Jane Unchained is going to have a contributor at COP26, the amazing Jill Carnegie, who is in Glasgow right now and who is a journalism, aspiring journalist. She's going to be going live for us as the plant-based treaty, which is a project of the SAVE movement, does various events, and we're going to go live. So we're doing our part. And then we're going to take that video and put it out to other places. We're doing everything we can. But we need some of these vegans to step up. We need vegans in the United Kingdom, for example, to go to Glasgow and front some of this stuff. So that we live in a celebrity culture. Joaquin Phoenix, who's another hero, you know, when he stood up at the award ceremonies and started talking about how we abuse cows, that got a global audience. And in fact, after one of the awards that he won for the Joker, he went to a pig vigil here near downtown LA. And guess what? Jane Unchained was live Renee Marinkovich, one of our contributors, was live and did an interview with Joaquin Phoenix, and it was covered everywhere. It was in Vanity Fair. It was in Newsweek. It was in the her interview was on Entertainment Tonight Canada for like 5 minutes. I couldn't believe it. So part of it is if you're in the right place at the right time, eventually you will get that. You will get that media hit, but you've got to be there. You've got to be out there.
Speaking of being there, Dr. Salish Rao of climatehealers.org is in Glasgow Friday evening, October 22nd. Here's a short letter that he sent. Dear all, Carl, Anna, Houdini the dog, and Viga the cow picked me up from Heathrow Airport in the morning, and we drove up to our Airbnb in Camrock, Scotland, our home away from home for the next 15 days as we worked to turn the tide at COP26. Along the way, we counted 7 rainbows directly in front of us, a terrific omen for the success of our mission. We have much to do. Instead of animal agriculture on the agenda, animals are on the menu at COP26. Viga has issued a press release and written a number of letters to the wise about this travesty. Let's help Viga with her movement. Stop animal farming. Help animal farmers transition to plant agriculture or any other type of nonviolent business. I would like to add in a comment here that from my observation and research, I have found that the agendas of, say, for example, UN Sustainability Development Goals, Agenda 2030, things like that, Green New Deal, not really helping the small local farmer. Millions and billions of dollars are being potentially sent to the Billionaires Boys Club so that it stays in the hands of the big farmer, big ag. So let's help the small farmer, say for example the small dairy farmer in New England who would like to transition out so that he could perhaps create an industrial hemp farm. A vegan organization that is helping is the Rancher Advocacy Program, started by Renee King Sonnen and her husband Tommy Sonnen in Texas, a rowdy girl sanctuary. They're helping. They're genuine. So again, it comes back to grassroots, that these changes are going to need to be done from the grassroots because the powers that shouldn't be seem to be having profit as their motive, in my opinion. Also, in researching the Great Reset, UN, Green New Deal, etc., that it appears to me that they are carnist, anti-animal liberation. And also, what's completely ignored is the big pharma of the pharmaceutical industry, which the pharmaceutical industry is a branch of the chemical industry, and both are a branch of the petroleum industry. And so the mandates that are being rolled out worldwide are definitely part of all this, but not a word about any of that. So I'm very suspicious of goals that sound like it's about sustainability and equality and all that when it looks to me like it's more about social control and continuing with the predator class of the multi-billionaires who now seem to be way too much influence over our government. In my opinion. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene, in Massachusetts. We're celebrating World Vegan Day, November 1st. In the first half of the program, I've featured some of the vegans who are doing activism at COP26. And then after the break, I'll be sharing some more vegan news in coming events. Thanks for tuning in.
Hi, we are the Green Sisters, and you're listening to
WCUW.
On 91.3 FM, Worcester.
Hi, everybody. This is Mike Warren, your host for the Wednesday Drive at 5. Let me be your driver as we cruise through all types of musical genres. Right here on WCUW, Worcester. 91.3 FM, streaming all over the globe on WCUW.org. Let me be your chauffeur. Is that it?
Welcome back from the break. You tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene, in Massachusetts. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. We're celebrating World Vegan Day, November 1st, with a potpourri of vegan activities. November 6th is the International Cube Day. Check out Anonymous for the Voiceless. It's really important to bear witness to the slavery, the suffering, the trauma, and the fear that our global kindness culture inflicts upon primarily youngsters, calves, piglets, chicks, kids. Because they don't look like us, it is legally and culturally sanctioned in our society of discrimination. In deep veganism, the premise is as we collectively sow, humanity eventually reaps to someone somewhere at some time. And so to stop misogyny, oppression, violence, exploitation, discrimination, slavery, and suffering, we need to become vegan. Institutions, organizations, COP26, religions, and it's really basic. It's unconditional love. It's the golden rule. And so there's a lot of vegans on the street doing activities every day, and especially for November 6th is the International Cube Day. Anonymous for the Voiceless. Thank you all. Veganism philosophy, authentic veganism, is based on justice for human animals, not just the other animals that we share this planet with, but also it is for human animals. And so a lot of vegan groups are now collaborating with other human rights groups, who typically the human rights groups only focus on humans only and allow for humans to exploit and harm others as long as those individuals don't look like humans. And of course, we keep spreading the message of the boomerang effect. As we sow, we eventually reap. So we really need to help create a vegan world. And so on November 3rd is the International Walkout. And this is being organized by Children's Health Defense. Here's the description of the Worldwide Walkout. Worldwide walkouts will demand a return to freedom and democratic principles. Citizens around the globe are protesting loss of liberty, illegal mandates, and tyrannical government overreach. Every man, woman, and child is important to this movement. No government in history has ever surrendered power in the absence of a demand. We need to tell these governments and their friends in the technocracy, the Silicon Valley Billionaire Boys Club, the mainstream media, and the pharmaceutical industry that we will no longer tolerate their trampling of citizens' rights. Next, I'm going to relay some information that many people are not aware of, and I just learned about it this year even. For further information, I highly recommend visiting People for Reason in Science and Medicine. The website is peopleforreason.org. I'm going to share one little detail, but if you visit that website, they have massive research, names of companies, all ingredients, all testing, etc. Fetal bovine serum that is used in the pharmaceutical industry. Research, development, and production of vaccines. So it's well known that cells from aborted live human fetuses are used. And also for the bovines, FBS, fetal bovine serum, is a byproduct made from the blood of cow fetuses. If a cow coming for slaughter happens to be pregnant, which is a lot of them, dairy industry as well as the beef industry, the cow is slaughtered and bled, and then the fetus is removed from her mother and brought into a blood collection room. The fetus, which remains alive during the following process to ensure blood quality, has a needle inserted into her heart. Excruciating pain. Her blood is then drained until the fetus dies, a death that usually takes about 5 minutes. This blood is then refined, and the resulting extract is FBS. Vegan education. That's just the tip of the iceberg. So in celebration of World Vegan Day, I would also like to share this conference that was held online called the Worldwide Vegan Summit for Truth and Freedom. Here's a short snippet, edited, of Dr. Will Tuttle, author of The World Peace Diet, interviewing Derek Bose.
People know I'm vegan, and for me, definitely looking at the exploitation of animals and the way that that system is destructive to me ties into the way that humans are exploited. And, you know, some people from their human perspective can say, hey, I don't want to be subjugated. I don't want to be put in a cage. I don't want to be treated this way, but then turn around and treat animals the same way. And so they haven't really made the connection, where some of us are like, hey, look, don't you see, you know, the same thing?
Right. That once you make that connection, the human domination and exploitation and oppression of other living beings, and then we think, well, you know, I don't want to be oppressed, and but I love a good burger. So I'm really glad that you're doing that.
The Greater Reset is the event that I helped organize, which is a response to the Great Reset. So the Great Reset is I think a simple way to put it is a marketing campaign is what it really comes down to, embracing of a new normal, as they put it. And that phrase, the Great Reset, was first floated by the World Economic Forum, which is, you know, one of these kind of non-governmental organizations. They're just a think tank, a nonprofit is what they describe themselves as the International Organization for Public and Private Cooperation. Their goal is to foster more public-private partnerships. And really, when you think about that, the idea of the merger or the partnership of public, state, and private power, it's very, and this, I don't mean this in like any hyperbole, like this is just what the definition is. The definition of fascism as well is the merger of corporate state power. So it's just interesting that a lot of these things that they're promoting, I don't know, they hem close to some of these older ideologies. But after COVID started to take place, the World Economic Forum launched this marketing campaign, The Great Reset, and they were, you know, using flashy memes. They hired graphic designers and just started putting it out there. You started seeing Prince Charles talk about it. You started seeing Joe Biden talk about it. Different politicians, John Kerry, different politicians around the world, Australia, using the same language, the same terminology. And many of us were paying attention, like, look, the World Economic Forum is saying it's time to, you know, reset our world. And specifically, they're calling for a great reset of capitalism. And Klaus Schwab, who's the head of the World Economic Forum, he published a book, COVID-19, The Great Reset, came out in June 2020. So about March, we started hearing the language. We started seeing some of the videos. And, you know, the World Economic Forum, again, is not just some random organization. They were one of the first organizations to start talking about vaccine passports before any of us had ever heard that term. And many of us were paying attention and saying, guys, look, this is what these folks have planned. And, you know, it's written about in Klaus Schwab's book. They basically are saying that this is an opportunity, whatever your thoughts on COVID, these, you know, technocrats, which is essentially just means people who are in technology fields or also in scientific fields, essentially believing that we should have rule by experts, that they are the ones that are smart enough, intelligent enough to make decisions for the whole.
Right. Like they always say, we're going to build back better.
Exactly. Yeah. That's one of the terminology. Yeah. And I mean, just as an example, so folks can better understand it. So I'm originally from Houston. I still keep up with what's going on in Houston because Houston is the fourth largest city in the US and it definitely plays a major role in rolling out some of these things. The way that these agendas, they come into place is from top down, you know, like it's like a pyramid structure. And so at the top level or somewhere near the top, let's say the World Economic Forum, Great Reset, they start floating that idea, the new normal terminology. And then you start seeing it popping up in articles in the media. You start seeing heads of state, politicians, and other people using the language, including Build Back Better. And it gets all the way down to the local level. So the mayor of Houston, he actually just this last week was a part of the Build Back Better tour in Houston where they had the Democratic Party, I guess they're traveling the country and promoting the ideas of the Great Reset. He also is a part of the Resilient Cities Network, which is funded by the Rockefeller Foundation, which is specifically aimed at implementing a lot of these ideas of the Great Reset, also what has previously been called Agenda 2030, which comes from the United Nations. I encourage you to do the research and to look into these topics because, again, the United Nations Agenda 2030 goals, Sustainable Development Goals, they promote things that many of us might support if done in a voluntary fashion, if done in a way that does respect people's rights and that doesn't end up where you have less rights, but the environment's protected, right? Well, you can't go anywhere. You can't do anything. We can tell you when to travel, et cetera. And that's some of the, you know, just a peek at some of the reality that these folks promote, these technocrats. And so they're not really using the term Agenda 2030 anymore, but it's really the same thing. Some people used to call it, you know, the New World Order. I think that term's kind of like a little bit, you know, divisive or whatever, but whatever you want to call it, at the moment, they're calling it the Great Reset. And that is what led myself and some other activists to create the Greater Reset and say, like, look, these people are putting it out there. They're writing books about it. Really, the world they describe is moving towards the fourth industrial revolution, the Internet of Things, the Internet of Humans, the Internet of Bodies. These are all real world concepts. Most of us are just familiar with, oh, we got cell phones, but they imagine and predict and expect a world where there is digital surveillance is kind of all pervasive, facial recognition, whatever it may be. It would entail the loss of privacy as we know it, but it might be better for the environment, they promise. But it could also involve the loss of individual choice, the loss of freedom of movement. And if we look to places like China that already have a lot of this technocratic system, particularly things like a social credit score, then it can get really bad. And that would be connected to a digital ID. Think about what we're seeing with calls for vaccine passports. Many of us believe that those are just the beginning of implementing an international, probably global eventually, but a digital ID that won't just have your COVID information. It'll eventually have your banking information and whatever information is on there, whatever you've been rated based on your behavior, which is being monitored at all times, could determine the level of privileges, what we used to call rights, that you have, you know. And that for me is a very scary prospect, but we're seeing that already play out in places like Paris and Australia and other places where they can't, some people now being denied going into supermarkets to shop for food because they're not vaccinated. You know, these sorts of situations could get worse. And it's not even about the vaccine. It could be any other arbitrary category they claim. If they say, hey, well, you said something bad about the government on social media, well, now your score's down and you don't have enough points to come in the grocery store. You know, it could realistically get to that point in the not too distant future. And this is the world that they are calling for with the Great Reset.
You're basically switching to something where there's just a few people who are experts and they decide, and there's really nothing you can do about it.
It can't be a disempowering thing. One thing I would say, first of all, is just to recognize that you truly are not alone. I mean, I think that those of us who were able to participate or even just watch the Greater Reset, really, we did it in January. As you mentioned, we did it two times, January and May. We're doing it again in the coming January. And we've just been able to connect with people from all around the world, reaching out to us and sharing their messages of, you know, giving thanks to us, but more than that, inspiring us by telling us all the projects they're working on. Hey, we met some locals. We're starting to grow our own food. We pulled our kids out of school. We're homeschooling, or, you know, we have local homeschool pods now, and just different things like that. There really, truly are so many of us around the world who are paying attention to what's happening and are trying to think in terms of solutions. So that's one thing to say, is like, don't be consumed by too much fear.
Yeah, well, very well said. I think when you look at the vegan principles underlying them, it's essentially the basic sense of inclusiveness, like having compassion for all other expressions of life and doing the best we can to have solidarity with each other, not exploit each other and not exploit animals. This looks like, to me, is a system, the Great Reset, and the way it's coming through a medical kind of fear-based narrative as just a divide and conquer, basically. I'm so really enthusiastic about what you're doing with the Freedom Cells and the Greater Reset, because, I mean, this whole idea is that we're becoming the livestock, it seems like. Human beings are now looked at, I think we look at animals the way these super rich look at us, right? It's kind of an interesting mirror thing. To me, it's like the Pentagon thrives on war and the big pharma thrives on sick people, right? They don't want healthy people. The last thing they want is healthy, alert, energetic people who are strong and connected and resisting being dumbed down. And so we have to be very, like, outraged.
We just heard Dr. Bill Tuttle, host of the Worldwide Vegan Summit for Truth and Freedom. Worldwide walkouts will demand a return to freedom and democratic principles. The worldwide walkouts are happening November 3rd in the International Cube Day of Anonymous for the Voiceless is happening November 6th. I'd like to thank all the listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Narrow, in Worcester, Massachusetts. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect and are independent from the views and opinions of this radio station. November 1st, World Vegan Day. Shout out to all the vegans worldwide who are working to co-create a vegan paradigm, normalize nonviolence, inclusive compassion, intentional harmlessness, sustainability, and non-discriminatory justice. Hear this program again at vegansradio.com. Please join us again next week at the same time. This is Marlene wishing you a good day.